house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focused EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all.
Gorgeous Wellbeing, Sex and Beauty.
Welcome to Gorgeous Wellbeing on Radio Gorgeous. This is Nikki Bannerman talking to a very well-known comedian, novelist, writer and mental health campaigner, now on tour with her mindfulness mission for the nation. It's the fabulous Ruby Wax. Hello, Ruby. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Great intro. Thank you.
Great amount of things you've done. It's fantastic. And what a show. I loved it here in Cambridge.
Oh, thank you. You have to come to all 75 of the shows on the road.
No wonder you...
Then I'll test you on it.
Oh, my goodness. No wonder you're frazzled like the book. We're here at your sellout tour, The Frazzled Show in Cambridge. What an incredible show. I really enjoyed it, Ruby. But you got a master's in mindfulness-based cognitive therapy from the rival Oxford, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I always wanted to go to Oxford, so I thought I'd wait till I was 150. And then enrolled, but I was interested in mindfulness-based cognitive, such a mouthful, only because the results were so interesting in a brain scanner. I didn't want to go for wishful thinking or fluffy stuff. So that's one of the founders happened to be a professor at Oxford, so that's why I went.
Fantastic. Gosh, Cambridge will be proud of you too. Can you please share with us what mindfulness means? I know you described it in the show, which was amazing, but how it can help us keep our own sanity.
It's an exercise, just the way sit-ups are, where you get a better six-pack, if that's what you want. So this is a kind of exercise of the mind to be able to pull down the stress when you need to, because we live in a time of such frazzledom. And so it's literally something that a little exercise you can do 5 minutes a day, and you don't have to do it sitting on a gluten-free cushion. You can do it in a queue when you're not doing anything, on a train, but... the evidence of what happens in the mind to bring down the cortisol is pretty remarkable. And so when you really need it, the stress is really out there, you have the ability to sort of dodge it, go below it.
And then you have the resilience. Like you said in the show, it's not caveman up a mountain sort of stuff at all, is it?
No, I mean, not at all. I mean, it's something everybody can do. It's relatively easy, but the thing, we all want a magic pill. We want somebody to help us, but this you have to do on your own. If you don't go to the gym, you don't go to the gym. If you want to do this, then do it.
And Ruby, you look absolutely amazing in real life and close up.
No.
My goodness, you look about 20.
No, you're lying.
You're an active campaigner on mental health, both as a patron for the British Neuroscience Association, bringing it to Parliament, and as an ambassador for mental health charities, Mind and Sane. Anything you want to share with us about those at the moment?
Well, obviously we're in a climate of stigma. If you put that you have a mental illness on your CV, good luck getting the job. So I really want the laws to pick it up. So there's parity between physical disability and mental disability. So I'm doing what I can. But I am going to start my own walk-in centers called Frazzle Cafes. I'll be starting that in the next few months and then hoping it rolls out throughout the UK.
And that's with Marks and Spencer's, is that right, on the high street?
Marks and Spencer's is going to give me their cafe, and that's why we have the ability to open up throughout the UK. So they've been kind enough. Otherwise, it's too difficult. Is it in this church hall, and this, you know, this makes it generic. But it's just for people to, we're not doing therapy, to network.
So there'll be no sort of counseling or experts there. It's really everyone to chat.
Yeah, everybody gets to be. So people who always ask, well, what do I do with my kids? I have problems at work, they can make contact with other people in similar situations and help each other.
That's such a brilliant thing to do, and really to save people time when they need help, when they need to chat, they can get straight to it.
Well, I always wanted that. I would have liked to have that years ago. It would have helped me.
You're doing so much, Ruby.
RadioGorgeous.com.
You've been described as having the rare skill to speak of the most painful personal things with great humour, and of providing a bridge to understand and reach the people. I mean, these are huge personal honours and respects. How does that make you feel to help others in this way?
I don't really feel like I'm helping others. I think that's kind of arrogant. I'm trying to help myself. But I don't have a lot of censors. I think if you are honest, well, people can't attack you. And I do see that if I'm honest, they're honest, because we have this ripple effect. You know, it's neural Wi-Fi. I love that expression. If I'm straight and I learn to cool my engines, the other person isn't threatened or doesn't feel frightened. I think honesty is really something that we could all use, because it calms everybody down. You don't feel so alone.
You've been very honest and open about your own personal experiences, Ruby, if you don't mind me mentioning it. And you seem to have turned your own difficult life experiences into powerful messages that do help others and change lives.
I didn't really do that intentionally. Somebody put a poster of me up that said, 1 in 4 people have mental illness. Comic Relief did that. So it kind of outed me. I wasn't brave. And then I thought, well, I better do a show about it, so it looks like that's my publicity poster. So I first went on stage to say, oh, well, okay, I've got it. But I made it amusing, because otherwise it's called whining.
Turn it to your advantage. That was brilliant. When was the moment you decided to get involved with mindfulness then?
Well, there wasn't a moment. I just really researched. I'm very picky about not getting fluffy. So when I had 7 years ago, I thought, maybe no cure for depression, but I do want to see it coming early so I could do something about it rather than get even more activated and hysterical and getting busy to avoid it. But it will get you in the end. So I knew that, and I thought, let's find something I can do on my own. I don't want to keep having to run to people to fix me. So that was mindfulness.
Goodness me. I mean, you're certainly not fluffy in terms of smashing the stigma out there about mental health and well-being. Now, not only are you an extremely well-known comedian and actress, you majored with a degree in psychology in California, you've got a postgrad in psychotherapy and a master's from Oxford, and now you're also a professor in mental health nursing. Is that right? You must be so proud of yourself.
Well, I don't think I didn't graduate Berkeley. I got sidetracked and hitchhiked my way through Europe, so I didn't really get the degree at that point.
Even better.
I don't really think that describes me. I think you're talking about somebody else. Really, I can't. I would have never thought this was going to happen when I was a kid. I was really heading nowhere. So it is a surprise. I'll never get over it.
You are supremely intelligent. I would take my hat off to you. My goodness. I love that you're combining your honest, open and witty communication with your intellectual and scientific understanding of the brain. I mean, it really is bringing a scientific solution to a modern day problem, isn't it?
Well, that's what attracted me. I'm not going to perform brain surgery, but I think I know enough to know what happens in that scanner. And that's what keeps me going. It's exactly like looking down and there's results from going to the gym. I can picture it. I actually had my brain scanned, which is in the book. And in my life, I'm still me, but I can recognize it. And that's really what mindfulness does. You can recognize when you're starting to get caught in that daisy chain of thinking, and when that thinking becomes destructive. So then you can do something about it. But that doesn't mean I don't fall into those bad habits.
And you mentioned you did actually go to a retreat and you were silent. I'm sounding amazed here, but you were silent for 6 days.
I did want to end the book, sort of putting my mouth where my money is. So I did go to Bangor University, where their neuroscience team scanned my brain. Then I went into a silent retreat and then wanted to see the results of coming out of that retreat. And it was remarkable. I don't think it was because it was me. I just think there's a moment where the brain has nowhere to go, so it starts to settle down, just like you'd tame a wild animal.
That's incredible. And you tamed a lot of people in that audience today. We literally focused on our feet for some time.
Radio Gorgeous, podcasts for women.
So, Ruby, you met Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth II.
No, I didn't.
Oh, no. You received... Yeah. And collected an OBE, an Officer of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, as special honours for your services for mental health in 2015. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, as an American, it was. I'm not allowed to go to the palace. I'm not allowed to get it from the Queen. So,
are you serious?
Yeah, I have to get it from the Lord Lieutenant and get it through the Commonwealth, whatever. But because I don't have a British passport. So they said, where do you want to have your award? And so I had a big party in the Priory because I thought I'd have to be with my people. And while I was having the party, that's where I got my award. People who were inmates were walking in and out thinking they were hallucinating.
That is such a great story. Why didn't we know about that before? So you have had two sellout tours. I mean, that's amazing. You've been on the road for a long time now, Ruby, and more dates to come. I mean, how's that going, supporting your book, Frazzle? Tell us about the book.
Well, this is my I've only done 2 days on the Frazzle tour. Say New World, I had 180 dates. Yeah, I pulled that baby out for as long as I could. But this is just the beginning of this tour. So it's kind of interesting and exciting to kind of shape it depending on what the audience want.
We loved it. Tell us about your book.
Thank you. About the book? Well, again, I tried to make it more accessible. So it isn't, again, sitting somewhere in a... You know, you have to go off. None of us have time. So again, it's exercises you can do when you're waiting for something. It's 6 weeks rather than 8 weeks. You can do it for 5 minutes a day. You can do it with kids, particularly important because you can shape their little brains when they're young and they grow up to understand how to self-regulate. I mean, that's way ahead of the game for teenagers, for work. And I hope I made it funny because if you do, again... It's really, you can take in information if you're laughing. I just think I'm not academic enough. And when I read those books, I'm in a coma.
You're not academic enough. Goodness me. Have a sip of your tea while I tell them. No, seriously, have one while I tell them about the exercises that you said about the shard and putting your foot up in the shard and literally using the supermarket trolley for exercise. That's why you're in such amazing shape as well.
Because I exercise in the supermarket. Again, I could do a demonstration, but they can't see me on the radio. Okay, when you're doing a mindfulness exercise, you notice the racing mind and you pull it to a sense, and your mind pulls you back, you bring it to a sense, and that kind of creates a counterpoint so that your brain gets used to pulling down. It's a new habit. So I always think kill two birds with one stone for people who don't want to go to the gym. If you're walking down the street and you're carrying a really heavy bag, why go to the gym? Again, it's a sense. Focus on when you lift the bag, you really feel your muscle tighten. So you can, with your handbag, lift 10 times, but focus on the sense. Watch where your mind takes you. Focus back on the sense. And then you can do it in a supermarket, pulling the trolley towards you, focused on where you actually feel it in the body, releasing it. So you're buffing your brain and your body at the same time.
And does anyone say anything when you're doing this?
I don't care. Sometimes in the elevator, I put my foot up on the rail to stretch myself out. And if you're alone and you're going to the shard, you're in the shard. You can do sit-ups, back bends, whatever. And if somebody's there, you think, well, I'm getting fit, and you're not.
So you're keen to smash any stigma about mental health and well-being in the UK, or is it beyond? It's becoming an epidemic, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they say by 2020 it's going to be stress that wipes us out. I didn't say that. That's just the situation. No, I'm only doing the UK. I'm only responsible for this aisle.
Fantastic. And this is your second book on mental health. The first was The Sane New World. How was that different? That was coping in the 20th century, is that right?
The first book was What's Our Situation? Why Evolution Meant the Best for Us. A little tour of how your brain works. Actually, the situation we all find ourselves in. And this book is what to do about it. So this is the guide. So I set up the premise. And then with this one, I hope people learn. Now, it's not for everybody. But it is a way of when the emergency happens, otherwise, or when you're too much wrapped up in technology, you can feel your tipping point when you're going over the waterfall of stress, and you'll recognize it and then be able to pull yourself back into neutral.
I think you're amazing. What's next for you in your busy life, Ruby? Another book?
People always say, what's next? It's like, isn't this good enough? It's never good enough.
It's definitely good enough.
Well, I could say... I'm opening the centers. See, I forgot about that. That's next. And then obviously, because I'm very driven, I'll write another book. But what to write it on? It could be about trapeze artists. Who knows?
You don't know.
It'll come to you. So is there anything else you want to add?
What would I like to add? Well, you've been really spectacularly nice. Believe me, in my life, that doesn't always happen. So we could maybe stick around together. You could tour with me.
Oh,
I don't get this all the time.
I'm amazed that you get horrible questions and, you know. No, this is a fun, witty, entertaining interview podcast on Radio Gorgeous. So good luck with supporting better mental health, helping others improve their quality of life, and good luck with your next lap of the tour. You say about yourself that you may not be sane yourself, but you do a pretty good imitation, and you certainly seem incredibly bright, inspiring and sane to me, Ruby. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Come to all my shows, all of them. The tour you can see on the website.
Oh, I would love to, Ruby. Thank you for your funny, moving insights and visions, your courageous and open humour and wisdom on talking about the serious impact of mental health today, Ruby. Thank you for helping others, for your time, and helping speak out to help other women, for gorgeous well-being, for Radio Gorgeous listeners. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. This is just a pleasure.
Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you want me, then all of this will go away. My many artifacts, the list goes on. If you just say the words, I'll up and run. Oh, to you, ooh, yeah. Ooh, I'd even do. Oh, to you, ooh, ooh, I'd even do. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you want me, then all of this will go away. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you want me, then all of this will go away. My friends and family, they don't understand. They fear they'll lose so much if you take my hand. But for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change.
Gorgeous Wellbeing, Sex and Beauty